Thank you to the teachers of Arkansas. And I'm pleased to be joined today by Dr. Jose Romero, of course, Interim Secretary of the Department of Health. We have Secretary Johnny Key from Education. And then today we also have Lance Taylor of the Arkansas Athletic Association. And I appreciate his attendance today. I'm going to first go through the cases that the case report as I ordinarily do. And then after we do that, I want to go into talking about high school sports in Arkansas. And then we'll follow with comments from those that are here in attendance. In terms of the cases, yesterday, as you know, we had 41,759 cumulative cases. Today we have an additional 752 cases. 33 of those are in correctional facilities, and that brings us to a cumulative total in cases of 42,511. In terms of hospitalizations, we have increased 3. That brings us to 507. And very regrettably, we've had 11 additional deaths in Arkansas. That brings us to 453. And as to those 752 new cases, the top 11 counties, or those that have more than 20, are Sebastian with 81, Pulaski with 77, Benton with 51, Washington County moved down on the list to 41. That's good news. Independence County with 31, Crittenden and Union are tied with 29 each, Mississippi 25, Jefferson 23, Saline 21, and Craighead 20. And so you can see a wide variation across the state, and we'll look into that in more detail. And then finally, in terms of testing, and this is good news, I'm very pleased with this because our testing is at 7,207. And everybody who follows that knows that that's a strong showing for the last 24 hours in testing. And what is very significant to me is that our cases, our new cases, were still flat even though our testing went up significantly. And so that is good news from the testing standpoint. And let's look at this from the graphs. And that just reinforces the point that our testing today is down a little bit from yesterday, less than the day before, and so that's encouraging, particularly with a higher level of testing that we've done. And then you'll see it in the 7-day rolling average, which has us in a better position, but we want to see that go down. Obviously, we don't want to flatten out at this high a level, and so we'll continue to make progress there, I hope. Hospitalizations, we're holding our own on hospitalizations, but anytime you have new cases, hospitalizations will eventually go up. And then in terms of the active cases, another good sign here is that our active cases are still below the peak time that we've experienced. Active cases, of course, are those that are still active, that haven't recovered yet from it. They're still being watched and cared for. And then the data, this is again good news for us, because you see in the white line, and these are the test results and by testing facility, the white part is the Department of Health. They've worked hard, and I want everybody to know that the Department of Health laboratory works 24/7, 24 hours a day. Our lab technicians and their teams are rotating and doing the work at the state lab. Very proud of them. And so they had a good day in number of tests. But then the red line, which I've been very concerned about, our commercial tests are higher. And that's what makes a big difference for us. And so that larger number allowed us to have over 7,000 tests across the state. And I'm again pleased. I know you're disappointed, but we didn't make 200,000 yet. We're going to get very, very close, because we have one more day to count for the last day of the month, and we're at 188,000. In terms of our positivity rate, this is not good. And I will acknowledge that. We have a lot of work to do here. We're at the right at the 10% level, which is CDC recommendation, but that's too high. We want it lower. And what you can see, though, is that this is for the date that the test is done. And so as we receive the test 3, 4, or 5 days later, then it goes and backfills and increases what we've had in the bar graph on previous days. And so where you see today's number, the last 24 hours number, that's low at about 5 or 6%, that's going to go up as more of the lab tests from that day come in and are recorded. So we got to watch that. We've got to do better in terms of positivity, which just means there's a lot of spread in our community still that we have to watch. And then I think that concludes that. So let me move to talking sports, band, and cheerleading. As I have said on numerous occasions, we need school this fall, and part of school are the sports and other curricular activities that go with school. And I have heard from every corner of the state, everybody expressing their opinion on this, from parents to teachers to coaches to moms and school counselors. And based upon that, I want to say that the Arkansas Athletic Association has presented a schedule for football in terms of contact, no contact team drills with helmets. And that will be from August 3rd through August 7th. And so we want our student athletes in football to proceed with their no contact team drills with helmets throughout next week. And we want that to proceed. I'm also asking the AAA, Arkansas Athletic Association, to submit a plan to the Department of Health to have football, volleyball, and cheerleading this fall. That will allow the Department of Health to review and develop the guidelines for mitigating the virus risk associated with contact sports. Further, I'm announcing today that I'm establishing a high school sports advisory group to make recommendations to me and to assist the Department of Health in the best practices for protecting the student athletes and school personnel, and to lead us to be able to have a regular sports season this fall. The reasons that we want to move in this direction is that, as I've said, I've heard from parents, student athletes, coaches, and many other educators. And sports, as they make the point, is a very important part of the development of our youth. If we do not have sports, then many of the student athletes will be traveling out of state to participate in sports, which adds another level of risk, and that increases the risk. We have over 3 weeks before school starts. I know teachers will be working constantly between now and then, but we have over 3 weeks before school starts with students in the classroom. And we're going to learn from the next 3 weeks of training and practice in the fields of sports, cheerleading, and other activities. We will learn what adjustments need to be made, and we will improve our safety protocols. And let me emphasize that the Department of Health, led by Dr. Jose Romero, will continue its responsibility to provide and issue health guidelines. But this group of experts that I'm convening will serve in an advisory capacity to look specifically at how we can have fall sports in the safest manner possible. We want to consider every angle to protect our athletes, our cheerleaders, and our band members. And we'll be releasing the names of those that will be serving on this committee. It's going to be chaired by Dr. Greg Bledsoe. The vice chair will be Kelvin Gregg, superintendent of the Dumas School District. Other members will be Dr. Lowry Barnes, orthopedic surgeon, chairman of UAMS, the Department of Orthopedics. We'll have, I won't go through all the names there, but we'll also have Dr. Jennifer Dillahay, from the Department of Health, Fitz Hill from the State Board of Education, Dr. Michael Israel, Associate Professor of Adolescent Medicine, Dr. Lee Johnson, a state representative and a physician. And so you can see from the list that these are distinguished in their particular fields. They care about students, they care about health, and I'm confident that they're going to give us some good counsel as we go through this. And so before I turn this over to Dr. Romero, I want to say that my message for the football players for Monday is to grab your helmet and be ready for practice. Then after practice, I want you to grab your mask so that you can protect others that you might be around. And this is very important as we enter into this season, that the risk is not just on the practice field, but the risk is also as we go about the community. And our coaches, our trainers need to emphasize this to the players. They need to understand it, and they need to set the example for their peers about wearing masks, and even during this time of athletic competition, to support our state in staying healthy along with everyone else. With that, Dr. Romero.
Thank you, Governor. So let me reinforce the numbers that the governor provided, as well as dive a little deeper. So our new cases, as mentioned previously, were 752. This is an increase of 39 cases, with 719 in the community and 33 in correctional facilities. We've increased the number of patients hospitalized by 3. We're now at 507. Our ventilated patients have decreased by 1. We're at 100. We've had a total of 453 deaths. That's an increase of 11. We've had 676 new patients recover, and we are now at 35,413 patients recovered. Active cases to date are 6,645, with 75 cases coming from nursing homes, 329 cases from correctional facilities, and 6,241 cases from the community. Our total cases, as mentioned by the governor, 42,511. Our testing has increased significantly. Those numbers were provided by the governor. I'm simply going to give you the breakdown. So the Arkansas Department of Health increased their testing to 18,885, which is at a level they were at before. Commercial and private laboratories contributed 5,025 tests, and UAMS 297. As mentioned by the governor, we are at 188,478. We will probably be very close to the goal of 200,000, but will not achieve it by tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Just to reiterate some of what the governor said about the importance of activities in school, the Arkansas Department of Education has partnered with the Arkansas Activities Association for a number of years now on analyzing the impact that sports and activities has on the students. And we know from these studies that students that are involved in activities and athletics have higher academic levels of achievement. They have higher self-esteem. They also have lower incidences of disciplinary issues, and they also have higher attendance rates. So this is something that is very important as we get prepared to go back to school, we have an expert group now, not just experts in medicine, but experts in mental health of students, experts in counseling, experts in dealing with the needs of students on a daily basis to help guide provide us and provide the governor with their best advice and wisdom as we move forward. We look forward at the department to working in conjunction with the health department and AAA to make this a successful school year and successful athletics and activity seasons.
Well, I'm excited to be here. I can tell you that. I think all the kids across the state of Arkansas are very excited right now, and all the coaches. I want to thank the governor, the Arkansas Department of Health, and I've had two people that really work close with me in the Department of Health that have approved the guidelines already for cross country and other sports, and those two people have been awesome, and that's Jeff Jackson and Dr. Susan Weinstein, and I applaud them for their professionalism and their cooperation in helping us. I hope you were listening, coaches, because you were just challenged. I know you're going to hit the fields Monday and the courts, and you're going to be preparing for the season. But this right here is probably the most important thing that you can do, and you're going to have to stress this with your athletes, and I know there's athletes out there listening too, and parents. This is what's going to let us play this year. This is going to determine conference championships, regional championships, and state championships. We've got to help them, and we've been challenged, so we have to help get our numbers down. And now I know you're doing a great job at the school. I know you're social distancing. I've been to practice. I've seen it. But now it's more important when you leave. This is the most important thing. So, again, with your help, we're going to have fall sports. So I'm very proud of that. And, again, I want to thank the governor and the Department of Health and, of course, the Department of Education. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. With that, we'll take any questions.
So what actually changed? Because it seemed like we were still doing one-on-one drills and all that stuff, but it seems like this doesn't do anything.
Well, I mean, first of all, what changed is that there was a need for a decision as to moving into next week as we prepare for helmet usage, as we prepare for team activities. We wanted to make it clear that student athletes they have a week of that, and then they will be able to proceed with preparing for the season, which is contact. And so that's the purpose of this group, is to figure out how we can get there and how we can have a season and how we can have the right guidelines to accomplish that.
The plan to have contact starting after next week?
That is the plan, to have that. Now, the advisory group that I've created will be meeting starting next Monday, and there's an urgency about, as they look at this, they're going to look at the best practices across the country. They're going to look at working with the Department of Health, listening to them, which they will have their epidemiologist on the advisory group, and we will make decisions as we go on. We're also going to learn from experience. I hope that next week there's zero positive cases among athletes in Arkansas. That might not be the case. And so we're going to learn from the experience as we go along, but you have to have a purpose and intent. And the intent is, let's move on for the season.
So I guess what's changed since earlier in the week? Because I did ask you Tuesday about it. You seemed not very confident that football was going to be able to move forward given where the numbers are.
You know, quite frankly, it was the communication from so many students and parents and athletes that are out there that they said in such passionate ways as the difference it makes in their life and the lives of their teammates. And I just realized from my own experience, of course, how important it is as part of high school activities, but it's also about the cheerleaders, that is a competition. It's about band, and we want them to have the benefit of those extracurricular activities. These aren't mandatory. I mean, parents can make the decisions and students can make the decision, I don't want to participate, the risks are too great. So that decision is free for them, but these are extra activities, and we believe that they are important, and so we want to help get there by having the right guidelines and protocols for that. Sully.
How much did this help you with the overall fight when you have so many counties now that, and this is not like the SEC, we're depending on other states, this is Arkansas alone, where, you know, you see Independence County, you see counties showing up now, where high school sports, the lower you go, the more important it is, where your message to mask up may ring a little more now when they see these sports on the line.
I think you're absolutely right that as Lance said, this is a challenge. This is a motivation. You know, it's pretty discouraging for an athlete to say we're going to practice, but there's no chance of having a season. Obviously, they're going to move out. They're not going to continue that. They're going to drift out to, if they're a top athlete, they're going to be playing outside of the state of Arkansas, which brings its own health risk. The other health risk is that if you don't have these team sports, what are these young people going to be doing? They're not going to be sitting in their room always doing academics. I wish they would do that, but they're going to be out, they're going to be about, they're going to be engaging in other behavior that could make them test positive. And so this is a more controlled atmosphere with guidance out there, even though it has some risk associated with it. But they should be motivated to help their community to keep that spread down, to reduce that positivity, and to understand the risk. So this is both about their competition, but it's also about their learning, about life and challenges and facing those.
You're, as a someone who studied this, there seems to be this cloud around football that the contact is going to create a spread, whereas in other sports, yet we've got a small model with basketball and baseball, we've yet to see person-to-person spread. Will this be a learning experience for you to see contact football, to see if it, you know, can be transferred in contact?
I think it'll be a learning experience for all of us. We are learning from our neighbors, from our states around us. We're learning from the major leagues, right? I mean, you've all heard about the recent, I believe it's the Marlins that had a large number of players that turned positive. So we are going to learn. This is something that we have advised the governor on. We've given our opinions. The governor is taking the global picture into account and is moving forward with this. We're going to provide further recommendations regarding this activity and performing it safely. Yes, there are other sporting activities that will also need to be considered as possibilities. At least I think they do.
Football, just on a line of scrimmage, that, you know, it could be contact and time could be.
So I don't want to get too much into the weeds here, but the governor shared with me an email yesterday from another coach who actually did an analysis of this, which I had never thought of this. The actual time in a game for one side, either offensive or defensive side, in physical contact is about 6 minutes, based on the number of plays and how long each play lasts. And I found it fascinating that would be looked at. Now, that's a very short period of time. So certainly it goes into possibility of having less transmission. And there were other things that this coach had innovated that I think are very good ideas. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It may go forward. It may collapse upon itself. I think that, as has been said already and by the governor, it is up to the player to keep his team in play, right? And it's up to the coach to remind them to keep it in play. So if they're willing to put in the extra effort, then maybe they'll be able to go forward. We'll see.
Let's go remotely. Are there any questions?
Governor, a quick question. You mentioned helmets for football players, but for next week, is there any impact for cheerleaders or band members?
Lance, can you answer that, where we are on this?
I think cheerleading is going to move forward next week, just like we have planned. I know I've heard that the Department of Health is working on just tweaking the band guidelines, so that should be out early next week, I think is what Dr. Romero said. So we should be moving forward early next week with the band.
So is that the week of August the 10th?
As you said, next week.
Yeah.
That's August 3rd.
Yeah, well, August 3rd, it should be probably about the middle of next week, I hope, by the 5th.
Start the season on time? That's your goal? Start the football season as scheduled?
Yes, sir. We would like to do that. All the states around us, you know this, Steve, but Texas, the 1A to 4A is going to start on time. Oklahoma's starting on time. Missouri's starting on time. Tennessee's starting on time. So a lot of our schools early, especially if you're on the border, have to go across to pick up games. And so it will help it make it smooth for us if we are able to start on time. Yes.
Jay?
Is there any plans in place yet, and this might be more for you, Johnny, for schools in terms of attending football games, or is that kind of one of those deals where districts are going to have to sort of come up with their own plans for that?
Let me start with that, and I'll certainly invite them to make comments, but you have one issue with the athletes on the field, then you have the separate issue of the audience in the stands, the fans. And so those are subject to our large venue guidelines from the Department of Health. And so there'll have to be social distancing. They'll have to be wearing masks, but they'll probably have to be submitting additional plans for how they're going to do the larger venues for the actual games. But there will certainly, you start with the athletes on the field, trying to make sure they have the best chance to stay healthy, and then we'll also have to deal with the games themselves. Do you have any other comment there? All right, let's go back remotely. Was there any other question?
Yes, Governor. Will basketball and volleyball be able to scrimmage this fall, and is there a plan for spring sport practices in the fall?
You said spring football. We'll wait and address that down the road. Certainly hope there will be spring football, because we hope we have immunization by then for this virus. In terms of basketball, in terms of volleyball, the AAA will be submitting plans for those activities that will be reviewed by the Department of Health. What we're addressing right now with football and band is what's right before us at this moment, and we needed to have to address that issue so the coaches and other leaders will know how to carry on the activities next week. And also we wanted the athletes to know that we're planning on and moving toward a season this year. Do you have something else to add there?
Volleyball
is
for next year.
Yeah, come on.
I think the caller said about volleyball. Volleyball does start next week. They can begin practice. Their season starts the same week as football.
So we're happy with the way schools dealt with the positive cases. I noticed they delayed, reset here during this last stage.
I'm very proud of our coaches out there and our advisors too, because I know a lot of band people have already started working in the school, Steve. I think they've done an excellent job. I think what we've been working out now since June 1st, so tomorrow is going to be 2 months, and they've done a phenomenal job. Really, our numbers haven't come up that much. We've had a hit or miss here and there, and a lot of that's from our kids not being able to play here and traveling outside our state and bringing that back with them. And so, again, that'll stop, and I think it'll make it safer for our kids to stay in their own community and start team practice, and tell you the truth.
How does this announcement apply to youth sports, or is that something that'll have to be a separate directive? Like youth football, things like that.
Well, I believe we're talking about the same thing in terms of youth sports. And so right now the youth sports is the high school sports. Now, we did have youth sports for the summer, which was AAU basketball, other types of basketball, and they were not allowed to have five-on-five contact. They only have individual practice. And so those restrictions on youth sports, which were set through the summer, we're moving toward where you can have team contact with the restrictions and guidance that we want to put in place, that our advisory group will be making suggestions on. Department of Health will be developing those guidelines.
I guess switching gears.
All right, Jay, one more question, then we'll go.
Switching gears. Obviously, the two monuments have been kind of fenced out. Are you concerned about the safety of those monuments, the Confederate monuments? And then I guess, is there any action that you want to see taken in possibly moving them? Or do you want to wait on that legislative action? Because Secretary of State Thurston did put out a statement saying his hands are kind of tied because of it was needing legislative action.
When it comes to the monuments, debate is fair. Debate is the right process. And if it can lead to action, then that's the right process. Destruction is the wrong way to go about it. And so obviously, we want to protect public property, and that is included in protection of public property. Please, other questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Governor, this going back to sports real quick, would you consider encouraging football coaches to add something to the helmets that might resemble something like a shield to protect players even further?
Yes, I think that is one of the suggestions or comments made by a coach, is that they have put in face shields and that provides a level of protection. There is a cost issue with there, and I'd like to know more about the smaller school districts particularly and the costs associated with that. But that will be one of the things that our advisory group will be looking at as to the extent that is effective and the practicality of it as well.
Testing capability, especially when you're involving so many small schools, and you know, I know your advisory board will decide on how they're tested, but are we at a point statewide where we can get this done?
Well, we need to do better, and for example, I'm speaking of with the schools, we've put in an infrastructure for higher education. We would like to have a similar type of confidence in K through 12 and K through 12 sports. That we have more localized point of care testing. And that's one of the reasons that we've have 200 antigen point of care testing machines on order. We want to see how that can fit into the framework of our schools and working with our local providers to make sure that we can have access to the testing. So that's something we're continuing to work on. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes, Governor. This is Susanna with Ozarks at Large. I'm just wondering if you're concerned about the extra $600 unemployment benefit running out today and what action you'd ideally like to see Congress take on the matter.
Well, first of all, whenever you look at the economic situation of our country, it is a great concern. Whenever you see the drop in the GDP, even though Arkansas is really recovering with rapid speed, our unemployment rate is dropping, more people are working, our businesses are doing better. We can't survive as an island if there are challenges economically across the nation. So it is a concern. In terms of the unemployment benefits, we want to have that safety net there. We're going to keep that strong. In terms of the extra $600 a week, I would expect that to be dropped by Congress in terms of reducing that amount. I don't know what they'll settle on. I do believe it is important that we provide people and get them the jobs and the job opportunities that they want. So that's really a focus as well as a safety net. And so I just have to wait on congressional action, but we don't want to be paying people more money to stay at home if there's the opportunity to work. And I know that's one of the things Congress is debating.
Governor? I don't know what exactly the band requirements will look like, but related to choir, is there going to be anything that's suggested by ADH, considering that chorus singing has already been identified as a risk in like church settings?
Dr. Romero, do you have a comment there?
Singing choir within the guidelines that we're going to be talking about, so there will be recommendations regarding that. It's a known risk factor for exposure, and we will be issuing some recommendations.
Anything else?
Governor, earlier you said sports are important and students will travel out of states for sports if we don't have them here, which increases the risk of spreading the virus. Are we worried about the opposite, about people coming from out of state potentially spreading the virus here because we have athletic opportunities?
What was the last part?
Are we worried about a vice versa scenario in which people come here and risk spreading the virus?
Well, we've talked about that a little bit before, that there's, you know, travel you have to be careful with. You know, where have they been? What are they doing? If somebody goes to Florida, what do they do in Florida? And so it's more about behavior versus movement. And the behavior that you have to be careful about is, are they wearing masks? Are they socially distancing? And what behavior are they engaging in? Anytime you get outside of your state, there is a little bit of additional risk because you just don't know enough about what you're associating with. But I know that the athletes over the summer, whenever they could not play their ball here in Arkansas in terms of team competition. They were going to Kansas City. They were going to Oklahoma and playing teams from Texas, which was certainly a hot spot. That's worrisome. And so I think we're much better off in an environment here in Arkansas. And even though a team might play someone across the line or out of state, you can still control that environment better. So I think it's much preferable if we have those high school sports to avoid the uncontrolled atmosphere that would be out there in the sports world.
For pre-K, it seems there's not a virtual option for that, and I think a lot of people just want some clarification on why that is.
Well, Secretary Key, I could answer that, but I think you've got some credibility there.
I have credibility, too.
You know, I think there are a couple of primary reasons with that, Jay. One is that experts look at virtual options for pre-K students under, 3 and 4 year old, very limited screen time that is recommended for those students. So that makes it very difficult. The other is, unlike school funding, pre-K funding has a number of different sources, and each of those sources have their own strings attached. You have ABC, which is a very important part of how we fund pre-K, but you also have federal funds, you have ABC funds, you have child care vouchers. Each of those have their own limitations. And so the decision to not have virtual pre-K is one that had a variety of reasons behind it. But we feel strongly that in-person pre-K is definitely the best way to go.
Is there one last question?
Yes, Governor, Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. Two questions, if you would. One for you and one for Dr. Romero. Earlier this week, you mentioned confidence after a White House briefing by phone of additional testing support. Is there any other detail on that? Can you describe what that means, if you know yet? And I noticed on the Health Department website for Dr. Romero, day before yesterday, there's fresh guidance on hydroxychloroquine for Arkansas physicians. And given for how much that's in the news, I'm wondering what that guidance is about.
On the first question on testing, I actually had an additional conversation with Secretary Azar of Department of HHS in Washington. We discussed the testing as well and the resources that we hope will be brought to bear. I would like to think that the increased testing from our commercial labs reflect in the last 24 hours is a good sign that they are increasing capacity, but it's going to take longer. I expect that change to be reflected more in this next month. There's a few additional things that are in works, but that's all I have for you at this point. Secretary.
Thank you, Governor. So there was a new guidance published. That guidance was issued because there was some confusion about the use of hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine in the state. There was some confusion that physicians and healthcare providers believe that the health department was advocating for its not use. That is, that we said that it could not be used. Any drug, any medication in this country that is FDA approved can be used for an off-license indication. That's what use, for example, of hydroxychloroquine is for COVID. We continue to stand by the FDA's recommendation regarding its non-use in that condition, but physicians, in conjunction with discussions with their patients, can use it if they believe it is appropriate and they understand the risks.
With that, thank you very much. Appreciate you being here today.